the Torah regarding Sfiras HaOmer. The Ran quotes in the very end of Maseches Pesachim that Moshe Rabbeinu told Knesset Yisrael that you'll leave Eretz Mitzrayim, and the very purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Tavdunes Elokim al Har Hazeh. The purpose is for Kabbalah Satorah. The Ran quotes the Medrash that tells us that Bnei Yisrael immediately asked Moshe Rabbeinu exactly when would this occur, when would he receive the Torah Hashem. The answer was Tisperu Chamishim Yom. You'll count the Yemei HaSfira, that will culminate in Gilui HaShchina, in receiving the Torah Hashem. That Medrash already indicates, as the Ran writes, the link between the Yontif of Pesach and that of Shavuos. And this is what the Ramban highlights this coming Shabbos in Parshas Emor on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, that what exactly is this mitzvah supposed to represent? And the Ramban writes that no doubt it tells us the link between the time of Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the experience of Kabbalah Satorah itself. Yetzias Mitzrayim, no doubt we celebrate, but it's always important never to be Yetzias Mitzrayim as an end in and of itself, but simply as a tool, as a vehicle, as a means to be able to express that sense of chirus. So much of what we discuss at the Haggadah, Nal Shel Pesach, is simply not to see Yetzias Mitzrayim independently, but rather as part of an ongoing process of Mitchila Hayav Alseinu Ovdei Avodah Zarah V'Achshav Kervanu HaMakom LaAvodasa. And the Ramban writes that that is the lesson of Sfiras HaOmer, to bridge that gap between Pesach and Shavuos. The Ramban writes an amazing comment that Pesach is considered to be Yontif Rishon, Shavuos is considered to be Yontif Achron, V'Hayomim Hasrim Bentayim Harehin Kecholo Shamoed. All the intermediate days have a Kedusha Sayom comparable to the time of Chol HaMoed. Rav Avadia Yosef writes in Yechav Adas and Chilak Aleph and Simen Chav Dalet that you cannot necessarily assume that these days of Sfira are considered to be a time of Tzara, a time of Peronius. Midaraisa, these are days of great Simcha. And even though the Gemara does write in Vamos Nafsam Apeis that we commemorate the Ptira of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, but nonetheless, in essence, these are considered to be times of great Simcha. And Rav Avadia Yosef writes this Lahalacha that one cannot necessarily assume that all the Nihu Gevelos that apply during the summer, the 3 weeks between Shivos Betamos and Tisha B'Av, necessarily apply during Yemei HaSfira. They're elements of Avelos, but in essence, these are considered to be days of preparation, days of anticipation of Kabbalah Satorah. And realizing that link between Pesach and Shavuos is critical in terms of understanding the focus of Sfiras HaOmer. We've discussed in the past whether Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is Daraisa or Drabanan, three different deos in Rishonim. Rav Rishonim maintained that if you have Tosas Lemenachos Nafsamavav, that Sfira Bizman Hazeh is Drabanan. But the Rambam writes that Sfira Bizman Hazeh is in fact Min HaTorah. The Rambam in Perek Zayin of Tmim Safim, that even without the Minchas HaOmer, even without Beis HaMikdash, nonetheless the mitzvah of Sfira is a mitzvah Daraisa. And Rabbi Yerucham explains that perhaps one can contrast counting days, counting weeks. Counting days is midaraisa, counting weeks is only considered to be a zeichel hamikdash. Or a chashulchan writes in Taf Pei Tes, how can you possibly envision Sfiras HaOmer daraisa if you don't have a minchas haomer? And he answers, because the essence of Sfira is exactly as the Ramban writes, to bridge that gap between Pesach and Shavuos. And that lesson and that role of Sfiras HaOmer does not require Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't require Minchas HaOmer. That lesson is equally as relevant today as it is Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. And therefore you can envision the Rambam Shita that Sfira Bizman Hazeh is Daraisa as well. This perhaps could account for a further issue, and that is the mitzvah of Simcha, that we know that the mitzvah Daraisa of Simcha, V'Samachta V'Chagecha, applies on each and every Yontif. It applies Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. But it is striking that when it comes to Pesach, one would think that that's ultimate Simcha, that's considered to be the time of Cherus. You never find explicitly in the Torah that there is a mitzvah of Simcha. The Torah writes there's a mitzvah of Simcha that applies on Sukkos, on Shavuos. We don't find this when it comes to Pesach. And the question is, how you explain this apparent glaring omission? What about the obligation of Simcha when it comes to Pesach? And perhaps that's exactly the point. We know Lahalacha, it's certainly true, but the Torah refrained from mentioning explicitly Simcha when it comes to Pesach in order to realize that the Simcha that we experienced at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not at that moment. It wasn't at the time of that Cheirus, but rather it was an opportunity. It was a tool to be able to receive the Torah Hashem. In retrospect, no doubt, when one celebrates Zman Matan Torah Seinu, so therefore the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim become days of great simcha as well. But it's as though the simcha is in balance, it's deferred, until one can experience that true sense of simcha that one realizes at the time of Chag HaShavuos. And when you receive the Torah Hashem, when you channel that Cheirus, then you understand very well that the Dinim D'Oraisa of Simcha equally apply to Pesach as well. That Ramban in Emor points out that's why Chazal always referred to Shavuos as Atzeres, because the Ramban is troubled. After all, Atzeres means a concluding day. And in what sense is Shavuos considered to be Atzeres? Shmini Atzeres, no doubt, is a conclusion. A yantif of a week's duration, and now you conclude the yantif. The same thing, no doubt, is true when it comes to Pesach as well. When it comes to Shavuos, why should that be called Atzeres, a single day d'araisa? And the Ramban answers exactly this point, it is Atzeres. That is the climax, the culmination of the yantif of Pesach. And therefore, Chazal always referred to Shavuos as being Atzeres in order to underscore that particular lesson. That's the need to be able to realize the link between Pesach, Shavuos, Cheirus as an opportunity for Kabbalah Satorah, the Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Elami, Sha'osek B'Torah. Orach HaShulchan even writes in Tav Pei Tes that even though we bring on Pesach the Minchas HaOmer and on Shavuos we bring the Shtei HaLechem, and they're similar in many ways, but the most base distinction between them is that the Minchas HaOmer comes from Seorim and the Shtei HaLechem comes from Chitim. And the Orach HaShulchan explains the difference between them is Seorim is Machal Behema and Chitim is considered to be Machal Adam. Why is that significant? Because look, when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, we mark physical Cheirus. Physical chayrus is something that a person can realize, but even an animal can sense relief from a certain burden. If you're going to work an animal very hard and suddenly the animal, right, is relieved, then animal can also sense that there is that type of change. And therefore, Orach HaShulchan writes, the reason that Machal Bahim is brought on Pesach is in order to underscore this is the base level of chayrus. The need to transition, to be able to convert, to appreciate Chitin, Chitin is unique when it comes to Machal Adam, because only a Ben Yisrael can transition to take that Cheirus and to culminate in Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore that shift of Sa'orin to Chitin, Orach HaShulchan writes, that's the essence of the lesson of Sfiras HaOmer itself. So therefore there's much more to Sfiras simply than the concept of simply counting days, but rather it focuses the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim in order to appreciate the sense of Kabbalah Satorah. And in fact, if you look in Sifri, you find that there are two mitzvahs of Sfiras HaOmer. After all, Sfiras HaOmer is found twice in Chumash, in Emor in Re'eh. The glaring difference is in Emor, or Svartam Lachem is B'loshon Rabim. In Re'eh, Shiva Shavuos Tisparlach, it's B'loshon Yachid. And the Sifri points out the difference is Rabin is L'chol Echad V'Echad, and Yachid is a Chiv which is incumbent upon Bezdin. The Sifri writes, the Chiddush in Re'eh, that there are two halachos of Sfira. Each one of us is obligated to count, but Bezdin, independently, Shiva Shavuos Tisparlach, is obligated to count Sfira as well. And why is that a Chovas HaBezdin? Because Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. After all, Bezdin has to determine the onset of Yantiv. Shavuos, as you know, has no calendar date. Shavuos is only determined by nothing else other than the Yemei HaSfira. And therefore, it's essential for Bezdin to count independently in order to be Koveya, the Yantif of Shavuos. And perhaps Meduyak, when it comes to the Sfira, which is V'loshon Yachid, which is the Chiyuv incumbent upon Bezdin, the Torah doesn't discuss Sfiras HaYamim, but rather Sfiras HaShavuos, which is the Chiyuv incumbent upon Bezdin to be Koveya, the Yantif of Shavuos. So on a level of Daraisa, the Ramban points out the Yemei HaSfira are considered to be days that are replete with that sense of Simcha. And yet the Gemara tells us in Yevamos Naf Samach Beis that these days were tragically marred by the Ptira of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Days comparable to Chol HaMoed were converted into times not of pure Avelus, but rather a balance. The Simcha is tempered because of the experience of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara tells us, as you know, that during this period of time, 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were Nifter, because of Al Shlomo Kavod Zebo Zeh, because Ben Adam Lechaveiro, there was something lacking in their interpersonal relationships. It's a hard Gemara, no doubt, for us to understand. First, how indeed was that possible? After all, these were Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva in Yerushalmi, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah, and yet a glaring deficiency of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. And even if one is guilty, lo nagu kavod zeh b'zeh, but the response, the patir of 24,000 Talmidim, seems no doubt to be something which is quite extreme. After all, we're not dealing with averos hachamuros that warrant an immediate onesh of misa, simply a breach in ben adam lechavero, and no doubt one can question why such a response was necessary. Right? Even if we see, unfortunately, sometimes lo nagu kavod zeh b'zeh, but yet for 24,000 Talmidim to pass at that particular time requires some sense of explanation. But no doubt, the expectation of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva was very great, that they were going to be the ones who emerged as the next generation of the Balei HaMasora of the Matikei Shmua. These were not simple Talmidim. We know Kadosh Baruch Hu is Medakdei Kechut HaSara, especially regarding the Talmidei Chachamrim, regarding the Tzadikim, those who would emerge as being the Balei HaMasora. And even for a typical individual, even if lo nagu kavod zeh b'zeh is not a critical indictment, it requires work, but it doesn't warrant an onesh of misa. One thing is clear. For those who are preparing themselves to emerge as being the manhigei hador, for those who are going to assume the role as the matikei shmua, the balei hamesora, in such a case, lo nagu kavod zeh b'zeh, that is a tragic indictment. That is a psul, that they cannot go ahead and serve in that particular capacity. And therefore, it required, as though Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that these Talmidim cannot be successors to Rabbi Akiva. It's necessary to have a new generation of Talmidim who would assume that particular role. And the Gemara describes V'haya ha'olam shamin. The Gemara says the world was desolate ad shabo Rabbi Akiva etzel Rabbeinu Shebedarom, until Rabbi Akiva went to Rabbeinu Shebedarom v'shon alehem and taught them the Torah Hashem. If you look, this is also found not just in the Sugni of Amos Nav Samach Beis, it's also found in Koheles Rab in Parsha Yud Aleph. And here the Medrash writes at greater length. You have to see the Medrash. It describes Rabbi Akiva after suffering the loss of all of his Talmidim, going to Rabbeinu Shebedarom and trying to raise a new generation of Talmidim. And Rabbi Akiva tells them what happened, that all the Talmidim were wiped out. Al shel nagu kavod zeh b'zeh. And Rabbi Akiva tells them, v'atem lo tiyu kein. I will teach you the Torah Hashem, but you can never be guilty of what the earlier generation of Talmidim were able to perpetrate. And there was that commitment to be able to learn the Torah Hashem and to be able to internalize that message of Rabbi Akiva of V'yahavta l'recha kamocha. That was the greatness of Rabbeinu Shebedarom. Who were these Rabbeinu Shebedarom? If you look in that Sukkim of Amos Nef Samach Beis, you look in Kol HaSrab and Parshi Aleph, you found that they were that Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Nehemiah. Those were the Rabbeinu Shebedarom, who Rabbi Akiva felt confident to be able to be the next generations, the ones who would bear the Mesorah of our Torah Hashem to become the Matikei Shmua. Rav Asher Weiss often pointed out that if you look throughout Mamare Chazal, you find so many references of these Rabbeinu Shebedarom stressing the importance of mitzvahs that are ben adam lechavero. If you look in the Midrash Tanchum and Parshas Vayechi, Rabbi Meir says that again, that kol ha-mekabel p'nei chavero kilu mekabel p'nei hashrina. When you greet the fellow member of Knesset Yisrael, that's considered to be an act of Kabbalah's p'nei hashrina. And Rabbi Yehuda says that kol ha-mevareches Yisrael kilu mevareches hashrina. Giving a simple bracha to a member of Knesset Yisrael is comparable to a birchas Hashem. Rabbi Yossi, who was among the Rabbeinu Shebedarom, the Sugin Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, Miyamai lo avarti al divrei chaverai. Rabbi Yossi says, throughout my life, I never breached any teaching, any memra of any of my chaverim. Rabbi Shimon is the one who maintains that Noach lo la'adam, shiyapil atzma lekivshan shel eish, v'al yal bim pnei chaveo barabim. If it's a choice of giving up your life or causing someone else embarrassment, it is better to risk your life rather than unnecessarily embarrass anyone else. These are the statements of the Rabboseinu Shebedarim. This was the new generation of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, who no doubt were able to internalize that lesson of Rabbi Akiva, the Klal Gadol B'Torah of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. So in terms of an Adon L'Chaveiro, we know Rabboseinu Shebedarim excelled. They were able to overreach in terms of compensating for that deficiency of the earlier Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. But perhaps you'd ask the following: and how successful were they at perpetuating the Metoras Hashem of the Rabboseinu Shebedarim, emerging as the new generation of Manhigim, not merely in terms of Ben Adam L'Chaveru? You know, so often you can find someone who Ben Adam L'Chaveru is sterling, and then you speak to them in terms of learning, and you see that there's a lot to be desired in terms of their mastery of the Torah Hashem. Rabboseinu Shebedarim, no doubt, V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. But what about their ability, their proficiency in the Torah Hashem? If you look in the sugya in Sanhedrin Daf Peivav, the Gemara writes the following: Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yudin, Stam Sifri is Rabbi Yossi, and Stam Mechilta is Rabbi Nehemiah. All of those Tanoim are Rabboseinu Shebedarim. All the Sifra, Sifri, Mechilta, Tosefta, these were all that generation of Talmidim. They emerged as being the Balei HaMesorah. They were able to master not only the Torah Hashem in terms of lamdas, but also in terms of the mandate of Rabbi Akiva of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. You know, we celebrate especially during the time of Svira, the day of Lag BaOmer. And if you look in the Me'iri writes, and that's Sugya of Amos Naf Samach Beis, what is so special about Lag BaOmer? The Me'iri writes simply, Paska Mageva. Because the tragic passing of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, when did all of that stop? It stopped at the time of Lag BaOmer. And therefore, we celebrate, so to speak, the day of Lag BaOmer with elements of Simcha. So if you look in Pri Chadosh, it's also found in Chida, the Pri Chadosh in Chida and Shulchan Aruch and Tav Tzadi Gimel, they raise a frightening kasha, We celebrate Lag BaOmer because finally the Magefa stopped. The Pri Chadosh and the Chida write the following, look. Let's assume, for example, there's some type of virus, some type of plague, and all of a sudden, right, it stops. And no doubt there were certain people who were afflicted, but yet they're survivors. Most of the people were not. You know, then there's a certain reason to celebrate that I understand. The Magefa has come to an end. Poska Magefa. The Gemara describes, Umesu Kulam, the Perek Echad, Bahaya Ha'olam Shamim. Everyone was wiped out. Every Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So you celebrate the day that what? That the last Talmud is Nifter. That's the Kasha that the Pri Chadosh writes. If certain individuals are Nifter, and then their survivors have no doubt a certain sense of Nichumim, but Umesu Kulam Beperek Echad, the Magefa couldn't have continued. There were no Talmidim that were left. Vahaya Olam Shamayim. Why in the world would you celebrate Lag BaOmer in that particular case? So that's the kasha of the Pri Chadosh. Pri Chadosh Nechida answer as follows, and that is, you know what's so special about the day of Lag BaOmer? True, Umesu Kulam Beperek Echad, but Vahaya Olam Shalem, and Vahalach Rabbi Kiva Eitz Rabboseinu Shebedarim V'Shamalem. When exactly did that occur? When did Rabbi Akiva begin teaching these new Talmidim? And that's what the Pri Chadosh writes. That was on Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer marked the beginning of raising the new generation of Rabboseinu Shebedarim, and that is the Simcha of Lag BaOmer. True, that Poska Magefa, that alone one would not celebrate. But when you see Rabbi Akiva's ability to be able to rebuild, and you see the future of the Gdolei HaTanaim, or Rabboseinu Shebedarim, that, no doubt, is reason to be able to celebrate, right? A pause in terms of the elements of Tzara that befell Knesset Yisrael during this particular time. That, no doubt, is part of the message of the Imei HaSfira as well. The Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Solanter had the following Kabbalah that they used to put into practice. That, you know, if you look in Avos, in Perakinyan Torah, you find the Torah's Niknis B'mem Chesdavar. And they assume this was their Mitzorah. It's not found so mafurish in earlier Makoros. But their Mesorah from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was there must be a correspondence. There must be a correspondence between the Memches, ways that one can be Kona the Torah Hashem, and the Yemei HaSfira. After all, the whole purpose of Sfira Somer is to accomplish that sense of a Kinyan Shel Torah. And therefore, that each day, beginning with Yemei HaSfira, culminating to the time of Shavuos, they used to adopt that Midah of the particular day. The first Midah was day one, the second day two. They would go through almost the entire Yemei HaSfira, Memches, and Erev Shavuos was a time of a broader sense of acceptance of the Torah Hashem. And in terms of their Derech Musar, that was considered to be already the Midah of that particular day, that fascinating correspondence between the Memches Davar and the Memtes Yemei Sfira, Erev Shavuos being a time of a collective readiness in order to be able to receive the Torah Hashem. So it's fascinating. If you'll count, right, all the Memches Davar, Shatar Niknespo, and you get to Lamed Gimel, the Midah of Lamed Gimel, which is a prerequisite for Kinyan HaTorah, is Ohev Esavrios. Ohev Esavrios. That's part of our requirement in order to be able to be Kona the Torah Hashem. That's the Rabbi Seinu Shebedarim. The ability of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva to be able to learn from that tragic experience and to be able to channel that awareness in order to internalize V'ahavta L'reicha Kamocha Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is an experience, as the Ramban writes, that we have to learn from, that we have to grow from. If we see what happened to Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, it becomes the responsibility of that next generation to be able to learn from that lesson and emerge as being the Bali HaMasorah, emerge as being the Matikei Shmuin. That, no doubt, is part of the lesson of the time of Sfiras HaOmer itself. It's not an easy time, not just simply because of Tira of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, but when a person is faced with the privilege of Kabbalah Satorah, that no doubt, it's an awesome responsibility. To be able to ready oneself for Gilui Shechina, right, is something that no doubt has to be at the forefront of everyone's mind. It's part of the message of Parshas Achrimos as well. You know, the Chachmas Adam, in the very end of the Sefer, quotes the Gaon, that points out that, you know, when you look at Parshas Achrimos, that sometimes you think that this is a parsha of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. If I were to ask you, what is the theme of the beginning of the parsha, isn't the answer obvious? Right, the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So the Gaon points out that there are several striking things. That number one, right, is the following, that Yom Kippur is hardly mentioned at all. You read through the entire beginning of the Kriya Satorah, there's not a word about Yom HaKippurim. When you get to the very end of Shlishi, in this morning Kriya Satorah, the very end of Perek Tezayin, all of a sudden the Torah says, oh, by the way, this is what should be done when it comes to Yom Kippur. Isn't that obvious? Isn't that what the Torah was speaking about from the very beginning of the Parsh itself? Even the Pasuk of Va'al Yavo Aron B'chol Eisel HaKodesh, that no? The Pasuk says that, realize, Aaron, don't always come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Well, of course not. This is something that you only do once a year. Rashi already writes, the Torah admonishes Aaron, that Shelo Yehi Rog Yilavo, that don't go ahead and become too comfortable in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Well, obviously not. It's something you can only frequent once a year. And perhaps the most difficult thing is, again, what Rashi points out, and that's regarding the Hotzos, Kafu Machto. Here Rashi points out that the way the Torah describes it is the Hotzos Kafa Machta is earlier than otherwise you would expect. And we know that that is only after the Karban of the Kohen Gadol and the Olas Ha'am is offered, and that's not the Seder that you find in Parshas Achrimos. So Rashi writes that very striking fashion, that Pasuk Zeh Shelo Bimkomo. You know, this Pasuk really doesn't belong here. It really belongs elsewhere. No, striking. How exactly do you understand that comment of Rashi? So the Chacham Sadam quotes the name of the Gaon the following, that, you know, the whole assumption is a mistake. That the theme of this Parsha of Achrimos is not Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Because the Medrash Rabbah writes as follows, that there was a certain sus that Aaron HaKohen had that no one else had, and that was to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim at will. We, Ledoros, can only enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim Yom HaKippurim. But Aaron was able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he desired. But Bezos, Yavol Aron HaKodesh, he had to follow that formula, that prescription. He had to do that particular avoda. That's what the Torah describes. the ability of Aaron HaKohen to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim must follow its exact formula, as the Parsha writes. And then when the Torah concludes the entire formula, then it tells us, and you should realize is this is what we will do Ladoros when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. And that's why the Torah has to admonish that V'al Yaron V'chaleisel HaKodesh, that Aaron should not come at every time into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rashi writes that even the most glorious experience of entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim can sometimes become mundane, can sometimes become somewhat stale. If you look, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz writes in Sichos Musar, that is the challenge, to have a newness, a freshness in Avodas Hashem. And even an experience of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim can somehow become routine if it's done inappropriately. And therefore the Torah admonishes Aaron, you in history are the only one who can enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but you know, be careful. Be careful. Don't take advantage of this opportunity. Don't let it lose its luster, its splendor, because of the opportunity you have to always be Bifnei Hashem. And the kasha that Rashi raises, that the sequence is somewhat out of order, there the Gaon explains as well, no, the sequence is quite meduyak. This is the sequence that Aaron would use when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's true, when it comes to Yom Kippur, since we have the Halacha Moshe Misin that requires five tefillos and Asara Kedushim, this order is not exactly followed, but the order of the Psukim is delineating the order of Aaron HaKohen, how he would enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that order is meticulous, that quite meduyak. No, there's not something which in fact is Shalobim Komo. In other words, the theme of Parshas Achrimos is how a person appreciates and approaches Kedusha. And how do you do so? We don't have that zchus of Aaron to enter a Kodesh HaKadoshim each and every day, but rather you see what Aaron did, and that teaches us in the broadest sense of Avodas Hashem, that how we appreciate the Kedushas HaTorah. Number one is the following, that is intense hachana is necessary. A person always has to ready himself for that moment. Kedusha will impact if a person is prepared to absorb Kedushas HaTorah. Two people can learn the very same daf, and one person can be so inspired, another person unaffected, because a kli sharis is only mekadesh esarayim. You can have a kli, and if you put something that belongs in that kli, it has a kedushas haguflim mizbeach. And if you put something that is not fit, it is not affected. It requires that sense of a person preparing himself to be able to absorb the Kedushas HaTorah. And no doubt that when the Kohen Gadol would enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, intense hachana was necessary. 7 days of Prisha to have that single focus of how to be able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this is true in the broadest sense, that Kedushas HaTorah requires intense hachana. And as mentioned, it requires a profound sense of Chidush Davar. You have to make sure that the routine is not something that becomes stale. Asher nochi mitzavcha hayom, b'chol yom v'yom yivenef b'chadashim, the experience of Avodas Hashem and Limud HaTorah has to be something which is exciting. It has to be something which is passionate. Rav Chaim Shlevis writes, if you look in Yechezkel, in Perek Memvav, you find that Yechezkel all of a sudden gives us a beautiful image of the Mikdash Hashem. It sounds like that Yechezkel Navi all of a sudden now tells us traffic control. You know, when you enter the Beis HaMikdash in the Shar HaTzafon, don't turn around and leave the Shar HaTzafon. You know, it's going to be very congested. Go out through the other Shar. And if you enter in the Shar HaNegev, make sure to leave to the other Shar. So Chaim Shlevis writes, and why exactly is that so important? And his answer is one word, of his conscience. It means the experience of Avodas Hashem has to be an exhilarating one. It has to be a new one, with a sense of freshness. After all, if you're always going to enter the Beis HaMikdash in the same gate, and you're always going to turn around and leave through the same shahr, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see all of these wondrous sights of Ashras HaShchina, and your response is going to be that, you know, I've been there, I've done that, there's nothing new. You're in the Mikdash Hashem, and even that, Va'al Yavo Aron B'chol Eis, because even that can, Rachman Letzan, become, it's somewhat of a stale experience, unless there's a sense of intense hachana, and unless there really is a sense of chidush dovah, in order to be able to appreciate the Torah Hashem. It's part of our Avodas Hashem on the broadest scale. No doubt that we follow meticulously, right? Every detail, la halacha, but to make sure there's always a sense of passion and newness and freshness in everything that we do, a sense of chidush davar. And when Aaron would come, he would bring a par, he would bring the ayel, he would bring shnei se'irim. There's a fascinating psikta. The psikta writes that what exactly is the significance of the par which is brought, and the ayel which is brought, and the shnei se'irim. And the psikta writes the following. A person is to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He has to realize this, that this is not something that he is doing alone. This privilege to be able to immerse oneself in Gilui Shechina, in the Torah Hashem. Number one, you do so as part of a tzibur. And therefore, Aaron did not enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim individually, but b'chiper v'ado v'abeisa v'alkol kol Yisrael. Rather, he did so as a representative of the entire tzibur. A person can't see himself simply as a yachid, but rather as part of that united whole. And furthermore, you have to be able to appreciate a sense of zchus avos, that the right that you have to be able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you, Aaron HaKohen, is not because of you as an individual, but it's simply because you're standing on the shoulders of those who preceded you. You're on the shoulders of the avos. And therefore, you have a par and an ayel and a seir. The psikta writes, the par is b'schus Avram, vel habaka ratz Avram. And the ayel is the ayel of Yitzchak, the ayel of Ola. And the shnei seirim are the shnei seirim of psikta writes of Yaakovinu. The karbanos that Aaron would have to bring for the schus of entering Kodesh HaKadoshim remind him of his past, of his obligation to the entire tzibur, and a sense of chidush davar which is necessary for avodas Hashem. And no doubt this is critical in terms of how we approach different aspects of kedusha. We have to realize that in our avodas Hashem, and especially in terms of our limud haTorah, it is not just simply a mitzvah, that there are many mitzvahs, and one of them happens to be the mitzvah of limud haTorah. But as Rechaim Volozhiner writes, the Torah for us is considered to be our link. The Ramban writes that shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is how that we can most directly relate to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is through Torah, which literally is called Shem Hashem. But a person has to prepare for such a privilege of tefillah, a privilege of limud haTorah, in order to realize this is a pursuit and a responsibility that we have individually, a responsibility to the tzibur, and to realize a responsibility to the Mesoras Hashem as well. That in that literal sense, that we stand on the shoulders of the Mesorah of earlier generations in order to carve our niche of that chidush davar in terms of the Torah Hashem. It may seem that the Imei HaSfir is somewhat long, but you have to realize that the stakes are high. To be able to prepare adequately to receive the Torah Hashem, a person has to seize, as the Talmid of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the midah of each and every day in order to ready oneself for the Torah Hashem. Rav Ashoy used to often comment that, you know, Chazal could have so beautifully had men test dvarim shatar niknesva, and the drasha would seem to flow even smoother. That no, every day has a midah, and somehow memches and memtes. Why exactly is that last day held in abeyance? And Rav Ashoy would always comment that, you know, to become a real sar shel Torah, to become a great Talmid Chacham, to become a person who is so proficient in the Torah Hashem, that requires hishtadlus, but you have to realize it cannot be done without siyata dishmaya. It's like the Rambam describes as being a navi. A person can prepare as adequately as he can. A person can be mesakeh in every midah, but you know what? You always have to be misfalo for real siyata dishmaya, because even if you prepare, there's still a gap. A person can ascend the ladder to shamayim, and the last rung is missing. And a person has to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a more figurative sense, to be able to grab him and elevate him in order to be, right, on that plane. And the same thing is true when it comes to Memches Dover. There are Memches Dover that are necessary as prerequisites for the Torah Hashem, but realize that it requires immense siyata dishmaya. You know that the Rambam rejects Aristotle, who writes that if a person perfects himself, he automatically will become a Navi. Nevuah, according to Aristotle, the Rambam writes, was a natural faculty. If you study, you'll know. If you perfect yourself, you'll be endowed with Nevuah. And then the Rambam writes in Marnevuchim, there's the Hamonam, the things that anyone can be tapped for Navi, whether you're deserving and whether you're not. And the Rambam writes, neither extreme is true. The Rambam writes, the Derech HaTorah is the following, that self-perfection is necessary, but it's not sufficient. It's necessary. Right? The person will not become an Avi unless he engages in immense Ishtadlus. But just because you're Mishtadel, there's no guarantee. That requires Siyata Dishmaya. The Rambam writes, I reject the position of the Amon Ram. I reject the Aristotelian philosophy that prophecy is a natural faculty. The Rambam writes, it's necessary, but it's not sufficient. That's the Memches and Memtes. Memches are necessary, but it's not sufficient to be able to necessarily experience that sense of Kabbalah Sator. That requires that an Erev Shavuos, a person has to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mashcha Shina Soleinu. That, no doubt, is what we believe. It's not only true of Nevuah, but it's true of Avodas Hashem in the broadest scales. This is part of what we do, right, during the time of Sfiras Omer, to be able to seize, right, every single moment. I don't have to tell you. The difficulty of balance, especially for those who are in a dual program, is not something which is so easy. It's not so easy decompartmentalizing. And to be able to immerse yourself in the Torah Hashem, you know, there's so many distractions right there around you. It's easier in Eretz Yisrael, where Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim, it's easier where a person is learning 3 Sdarim a day. When a person is faced with so many other facets of the day, it's not an easy challenge. But realize, because of that, it requires greater amelus and greater hishtadlus and greater hachana to be able to absorb those elements of kedusha. And it means you have to have, right, a steadfastness, a sense of asmada, which is something that is beyond measure. I can tell you that without hishtadlus, it doesn't happen. You might see certain rebbeim who, you know, you'll see, it must be that they were so gifted, and what they know is simply a function of the brachos Kadosh Baruch Hu has given them. It's true. It's true. Some are incredibly gifted, and some are be able to recall almost anything that they'll learn, but realize the intensity of Amelus and Chazara is something that is very, very critical. Years ago, Rav Yosef came to the yeshiva. And those of you who know him from his farm, who have met him and spoken with him, the knowledge is just mind-boggling. It's just simply mind-boggling. He can say and just repeat any sefer that he's ever read. And it's just incredible. And he was speaking about the hours and the hours and the hours that he spent since he was a young child in Chazar. You think somehow that you read once and that's it. And now he was telling us that the dozens and dozens and dozens of times that he would be able to Chazar every single sugya in order to be able to have the clarity that seems to come with such ease. It doesn't come with ease. It comes with an amazing, amazing sense of amelus. I remember my great aunt telling me that whenever he used to come before Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that Rav Tzvi Pesach used to give her particular instructions that when Rav Avadia Yosef comes, you can't allow him to wait a minute. He has to be ushered immediately because every second is considered to be a moment of bittul zman. Because no other passion, no other interest in sitting other and immersing oneself in mastery of the Torah session. When you see it, it's something which is inspiring. Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva as well. Models that you have of gedolim, that one can be able to glean and to be able to see the Hashgachas Hashem from real sense of amelus, but amelus that continues throughout one's life. So this is part of our mission when it comes to the time of Yemei HaSfira, to be able to realize that it's nice to read the Ramban, that these are days of Chol HaMoed, and these are times of Achshav Kervan HaMalkam Lavodasa, and this is called Atzeres, and there's a Kedusha of Chol HaMoed, and there's a Mitzvah of Simcha. But to internalize that lesson and to put it really to work and to realize that from now on a person has to be so meticulous about every moment of each day, right, that's something that no doubt is a hard lesson to be able to glean. But that is the uniqueness of the Matikei Shmua, that a person can excel ben adam lechavero and a person can emerge as being the monk, the Balei HaMesorah. So this time, no doubt, it's a time that you're beginning study week and finals week, and then Baruch Hashem, when the year is over, and you don't have that, the free time that a person has during the summer months is really a measure of the commitment of the Torah Hashem. Not being able to learn three full starim a day because of other responsibilities during the year is a legitimate explanation, as long as that during the free time that you are learning three starim a day and that you're taking advantage of every single moment. Then it indicates that the other times that it wasn't able to do so, it's because these were occupied hours. But when a person does have more free time, then the mitzvah, Limud HaTorah, is something which is even more pronounced and more compelling. You know, when the Chazanish came to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't realize right away his greatness. And when someone had asked him, do you ever learn? And he responded, Kedarko Bakodesh, and said, I learn in my free time. That's the Hagdara. That the Stipler writes is the Hagdara of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not Bittul Torah when you're davening. It's not Bittul Torah when a person is doing other chasadim or when a person is engaging other mitzvahs. The chiyuv of Limud HaTorah is to be able to learn in unoccupied time. The greatness of Chazon Ish is that almost all of his hours were unoccupied other than the pursuit of the Torah Seshem. Finding that free time, carving that niche, that is the challenge of the Hachana as a way of approaching Kedusha that you learn from Aaron HaKohen. So during these times, invested in Kedusha, it becomes a remarkable privilege, but no doubt a challenging responsibility in order to see to it that every moment is spent in terms of bettering oneself and preparing for Kabbalah Satorah. And I urge you to seize this time. As you continue to grow and you get a little bit of older, the time becomes even more occupied. You'll be faced with, Bezras Hashem, more responsibilities, more legitimate reasons that you can't just simply learn the 14 or 16 hours a day. That's true, but relatively speaking, you have this ability right now. And you have Rebbeim, and you have the yeshiva where the environment is conducive to do so. Right? I urge you to be able to seize those moments, to make siyumim on the mesechdas that you're learning, to set goals for yourself that are almost overreaching, because we don't want goals that simply are so easily attainable, to be able to put in the hours that the Torah Hashem deserves. And when your mother calls and asks you, what time do you go to sleep, what time do you wake up, and how many hours you're putting the base medrash, I want your reaction to be that, are you crazy? If you do that, you're going to get sick. How can you do that? The reaction should not be, that's nice, that's fine. No. You have to put in hours and hours and hours in order to do it, and then you'll cut back, you'll take care of yourself. But the approach, right, has to be that this is a unique opportunity, as we have an opportunity once a year, right, to enter the Kodesh HaKodashim. I don't have it each and every day. Later in life, you may not have the opportunity to be able to spend every day immersing yourself in the Torah Hashem. You may have to be able to carve Kviyasitim Bayom and Kviyasitim Balayla, but we have the opportunity. You will never regret, right, seizing every moment to be able to develop yourselves as the best Evra Hashem that you possibly can be. So this, no doubt, is what we do during the time of Yimei HaSfira, to be able to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a real sense of Simcha during Chag HaShavuos, that we've tried to do almost everything that we can in the Memches, ways that the Torah is nicknames, and to be mispalat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should He grant us even that last rung, to be able to reach and to be able to soar to Shamayim in terms of our ability to become a real Sarator. Bezras Hashem, we should be Zoche at this time, and the Yantif of Shavuos should be one where the commitment that we have for Avodas Hashem in general, and the Torah Hashem and Limud HaTorah in particular, is something which is so apparent in everything that we do.